I'm Kelly Beatty from Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during December. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment. Just bundle up warmly and find a clear view of the sky. Another year is drawing to a close, and 2012 will likely be remembered as the year that our world came to a catastrophic end. Yep, an ancient Mayan calendar has predicted that something big, with a capital B, is occurring on December 21st. Now, in reality, it's no bigger deal than your car's odometer rolling through 100,000 miles. But some less than trustworthy individuals have predicted all sorts of celestial alignments and doomsday scenarios. Trust me, you can safely ignore them. What does occur on the 21st is that Earth reaches a solstice point in its orbit. The word solstice comes from Latin, meaning sun stands still. At 6:12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the sun appears farthest south in the sky, standing directly over the Tropic of Capricorn. This date marks the astronomical beginning of summer in the southern hemisphere and of winter up here in the north. Until the solstice rolls around, there's plenty of stargazing to keep us occupied. Because full moon occurred on November 28th, we start off December with no interference from moonlight in early evening. If you head out as twilight deepens, you might catch a quick glimpse of Mars. It's been loitering low in the southwest for a few months now, refusing to make an exit. Look in that direction about an hour after sunset, and you might spot the red planet about as high up as the width of your fist held at arm's length. After it gets good and dark, take a sweep along the horizon all around the sky, and you'll surely spot an incredibly bright star low in the east. That's not a star at all. It's actually big, beautiful Jupiter. On December 2nd, the King of Planets reaches opposition at a point in the sky opposite the Sun. This means it rises at sunset, looks highest around midnight, and sets at sunrise. Jupiter rises a little earlier each night, and by New Year's Eve, it'll be well up in the sky as evening twilight ends. Jupiter's putting on an especially good show this month because it's closer to Earth than usual and also about as far north as it can be among the stars. So it will look dramatically bright and make an arc quite high up as it crosses the sky. Not far below Jupiter is the reddish star Aldebaran, the angry eye of Taurus the bull. Well to Jupiter's upper right, a couple of fists away, is Capella, derived from the Latin word for goat. It's in the constellation Auriga, a mythological charioteer who doubles as a goat herder. Now let's check out the constellation Cassiopeia. To see it, you'll need to be looking north in the general direction of Santa's workshop. If the night is still young and you've spotted Jupiter, just slide your gaze toward upper left, above Capella. Or you can note where the sun set and make a quarter turn to your right. Now look high up in the sky, almost to overhead, until you spot five medium bright stars in the shape of the letter M. Below that M, by about the width of three fists, is another medium bright star all on its own. That's Polaris, the North Star. But let's get back to Cassiopeia. In mythology, she was a queen. Her husband, Cepheus, is represented by somewhat dimmer stars about two fists to her lower right. They make a pattern that reminds me of a house with a pointy roof that's tipped over toward the right. Now, Cassiopeia was one good-looking queen, and she knew it. In fact, she boasted that she was even more beautiful than the seductive sea nymphs. Well, this didn't set well with Poseidon, who sent a sea monster to ravage the royal couple's land. The only way to stop the monster was for Cepheus and Cassiopeia to sacrifice their daughter, Andromeda, to the monster. You'll find Andromeda's stars directly overhead in early evening, even higher up than Cassiopeia's Big M. Well, as Andromeda awaited her tragic fate, she was spotted by Perseus, the hero of our story, who just happened to be flying by in his winged sandals. To locate Perseus, look for a loose knot of stars about two fists to the upper right of the M. Now for the climax of our mythic tale. Perseus slays the monster, frees Andromeda from her chains, and the two eventually get married. This is great. I just love these happy endings, don't you? There's one more object I want you to look for. This works best in a dark sky when there's no moonlight. Get the M of Cassiopeia in view, then slide to the right until you're a little past the stars of Perseus. Stop when you get about five fists from the M. You'll see a small fuzzy spot in the sky. Look harder. It's actually a little cluster of stars, small enough to cover with the tip of your little finger. That's called the Pleiades star cluster. Now, how many individual stars can you count? Five or six? Seven? Another name for the Pleiades is the Seven Sisters, and I'll have more to say about them next month. But get this, the Japanese call this cluster Subaru. Yep, just like the car. In fact, the next time you see a Subaru on the street, check out the logo. It's a stylized star cluster. Aha! Now, each December, we also get a chance to see a fine meteor display called the Geminids. The Perseid and Leonid showers might be better known, but the Geminid meteors are among the year's very best and most reliable displays. From a clear, dark location, you might see one meteor per minute when it peaks on the night of December 13th. You can start looking a few days before that and continue a few days afterward. And unlike some meteor showers, you don't have to stay up to the wee hours to see the Geminids, because at mid-northern latitudes, the show starts by 9 p.m. With moonlight not a factor this year, it should be a great display. We see the Geminid meteors mid-December of every year, like clockwork. Why so? Well, meteor showers happen when Earth plows through a stream of fine particles that have been shed by a comet and have become spread along its orbit. Earth crosses the Geminids orbit each December. But these meteors are unusual because their source isn't a comet, but an asteroid called Phaethon. Phaethon isn't very large, only about 3 miles across, and it was discovered fairly recently in 1983. Before then, no one knew where the Geminids came from. If you want more sky watching tips like these, check out skyandtelescope.com. Until next time, I wish you clear skies.